I'm here with Alexander McCurse, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, let's talk about the Swiss embassy in Iran that played a major role in de-escalating the tensions between the U.S. and Iran. Last week, we have confirmation of this now that it was the Swiss embassy that ran interference there. You mentioned this during a live stream that everything was moving through the Swiss embassy. And here is an excerpt via the Wall Street Journal. And it reads, as the WSJ reports, just hours after the U.S. strike, which killed Iranian Major General Qassem Soleimani, the Trump administration sent an urgent back-channel message to Tehran, quote, don't escalate, end quote. The encrypted fax message was sent via the Swiss embassy in Iran, one of the few means of direct confidential communication between the two sides, U.S. officials told the Wall Street Journal. Then, in frantic attempts to de-escalate, even as top U.S. and Iranian leaders were stirring patriotic sentiment and nationalistic fervor, the White House and Iranian leaders exchanged further messages in the days that followed, which officials in both countries described as far more measured than the fiery rhetoric traded publicly by politicians. There it is, Alexander, as you called it. It was indeed the Swiss embassy that was running interference. And eventually, the two leaders of the United States and Iran did manage to somehow communicate via the Swiss embassy. And they did decide, before all the announcements were made, that they were going to work to de-escalate things.
Indeed, sir. Now, I'm going to make a number of observations. Firstly, I mean, we got in our videos the whole role that the Swiss were playing absolutely correct. I would point out that we learnt about it from a statement by the Speaker of the Iranian Parliament, Ari Larijani, who said right, you know, at the fairly early stage in the crisis after Soleimani was dead, that the Iranians had received this message via the Swiss from the United States, calling a, you know, asking for a de-escalation, saying, act proportionately. So now the Wall Street Journal has confirmed that. But in my opinion, this story goes far beyond the simple confirmation of the technical points that we were making, you know, about the role of the Swiss embassy, the way the Swiss represent US interests in Tehran, and the fact that the Swiss clearly have an important diplomatic role behind the scenes, that there is a kind of channel of communication between the US government and the Iranians, and that it goes through the Swiss. I mean, that, to some extent, we've been aware of for some time, but this story provides us with a huge amount of information about the development of the crisis, because right at a very early stage, we were saying on the Duran that Donald Trump had clearly been maneuvered into the situation by the hardliners around him. And I think it's now increasingly accepted that that is true, and that one of the key players who played a big role in all of this was Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, who was formerly the CIA chief, and that all of these people came together, got Trump while he was at Mar-a-Lago on holiday, pressured him into agreeing to Soleimani's death, gave him this extraordinary list of targets that the United States could go after in retaliation for the protests in the US embassy in Baghdad, and that Trump, without fully understanding what he was doing, isolated as he was from his key advisors and his staff, went for the killing of Soleimani, and that this led to an extraordinary escalation, and that Donald Trump very quickly understood what was going wrong and worked very hard to try to tamp this thing down. Now, it seems to me that this story in the Wall Street Journal indirectly vindicates this analysis, because we see Donald Trump in public making all these extraordinary comments on Twitter, in that press conference where both Peter Lavelle and I thought that he looked extremely unlike himself. And we now realize that, in fact, Donald Trump simultaneously was working extremely hard through his own staff in the White House to de-escalate this whole situation with Iran, and that he was operating a back channel with Iran. And it's very striking that he did so, it seems, cutting out the major diplomatic and foreign policy organs. He didn't work through the State Department. He didn't work through the National Security Council. He did this directly, it seems, himself, through his own staff, sending encrypted faxes to the Swiss in Tehran, the Swiss embassy in Tehran, and establishing a back channel with the Iranians. Now, that is exactly what happened during the Cuban Missile Crisis. John Kennedy, JFK, realized that he was being pushed into a crisis with the Soviet Union over Cuba, and that the whole thing looked like it was going to escalate out of control. So he took immediate and urgent diplomatic action to de-escalate that crisis by setting up a back channel to Khrushchev in the Kremlin. In that instance, what he did was he contacted the chief of the KGB in the Soviet embassy in Washington and communicated directly with the Kremlin through that person, again, cutting out the diplomats in the State Department and the people in the National Security Council. And it seems to me, remarkably and very interestingly, that Donald Trump has done the same thing. Now, that is extraordinarily interesting. It shows you three things. Firstly, Donald Trump clearly doesn't trust the normal diplomatic channels. He realizes that he was maneuvered into this crisis. Secondly, Donald Trump is able to take personal charge and to conduct personal diplomacy to defuse a crisis. In other words, he is not the crude, belligerent, narcissist that people are talking about. He is capable of much more subtle and direct diplomatic activity than some people realize. And the third thing is that there clearly are people within the United States who are seeking a confrontation with Iran. Donald Trump, at this moment in time, is not one of them. They did try and manipulate him exactly as we said, and he acted quickly and decisively via this back channel through the Swiss to get this thing diffused before it spiraled out of control. Again, by the way, I'm going to just briefly mention, this was also true of JFK. JFK was also maneuvered. He also made some extraordinarily threatening noises about the Soviet Union. He was a person who was blamed the previous Eisenhower administration for not taking the Soviet threat seriously, who seemed to be driving the United States into a major confrontation with the Soviet Union. And that alarmed and frightened many people in the early 60s. This isn't the side of JFK that people remember now. But in fact, it turned out that he was a much more responsible and measured leader than people realized. And it seems as if the same is probably true of Donald Trump, is true of Donald Trump.
Yeah, this Wall Street Journal revelation shows once and for all that Donald Trump was not pushing for all-out war with Iran. No. It even says it, even though people were seeing, fiery statements coming out of the U.S. and Iran. That was the public perception, what the public was seeing.
Yeah.
In the back channels behind the scenes, these two leaders were actually engaging in diplomacy.
Yeah.
I think it also shows that Trump knows how to do diplomacy. And I'll add one more point to your three-point list, Alexander. Number four, it also shows that Trump does have allies and does have good advisors in the White House. He has allies in the White House, and he has allies and friends outside of the White House. given the fact that the Swiss embassy did run interference, and it did a very good job in doing that. Absolutely. No sabotaging, no leaks, nothing.
Nothing at all. Absolutely. I mean, and he clearly does have some good advisors. We speculated before as to who some of these people are. Undoubtedly, there are people within the uniformed military of the United States who understand how dangerous the situation would be if the situation with Iran got out of control. I've no doubt also, and I'm pretty sure that he's also been on the phone to people like Tucker Carlson, who I suspect has more influence than is perhaps recognized. So, you know, he does also do diplomacy. By the way, something which, contrary to what people always say, Barack Obama never did. Barack Obama always did everything from the Oval Office. He was completely isolated there. He'd also go play golf on the golf course. Well, Donald Trump also plays golf. But he very, very rarely interacted and undertook direct diplomacy with other leaders, other world leaders. And when he did, it was absolutely disastrous. I can remember one instance early on in the Ukrainian crisis when Obama telephoned Putin. And instead of doing diplomacy, he made all kinds of threats directly to Putin. And it ended up in apparently a ferocious argument over the phone, which apparently Putin never forgot and never forgave, and which only ended up escalating the situation. Donald Trump, by contrast, doesn't seem to work like that. Yes, he's inexperienced. He's easily manipulated. He's easily led. He gets to do foolish things, but he has the wisdom to understand that, to look for ways to get out of them. He's got friends who will help him, and he will act very quickly, and he's able to do personal diplomacy in a way that Barack Obama never did.
All right, Alexander, very quickly, the sanctions that they imposed on Iran, meaningful or not?
They're not going to make any difference. I mean, Iran is already under economic siege. I mean, it's just token activity that it's just showcases, you know, that, you know, US is doing resolved. I mean, it's Donald Trump telling, you know, the hardliners, well, look, I'm not prepared to go to war, but that doesn't mean I've suddenly gone soft on Iran. It doesn't. These things are just, as I said, theater. They don't really mean anything. In fact, I'm going to say something. In fact, now that Donald Trump and the Iranians are actually talking directly to each other, which they haven't been doing for some time. In fact, at any time that Donald Trump has been president, we might actually start to edge towards some kind of understanding between the two in a general way. I don't mean that Donald Trump is going to become an admirer or a friend of Iran. I don't mean that Donald Trump is going to reverse position on the JCPOA. I don't mean that the Iranians will, you know, agree to his various demands. But they don't have to do those things. They can just stop this policy of, you know, shooting and, you know, this covert war they have with each other. If that can be de-escalated, if there can be a kind of ceasefire, if you like, both a diplomatic and a sort of, you know, covert war ceasefire, that in itself would be a good thing, and it would contribute significantly to a diffusing of the tensions that have been building up in the Middle East. You know, let's we're not giving Donald Trump, a 10 out of 10 for this. I mean, he made a big mistake in getting maneuvered in the way that he did over the course of this crisis. Whatever you may think of General Soleimani, it was not a good idea to kill him. And I've been reading more and more experts on Iran, people like Patrick Coburn, for example, who knows Iran like the back of his hand, and Iraq like the back of his hand. And they both say that strategically, it was a mistake. But Donald Trump realized that it was a mistake. He realized that he was being manipulated, And he acted very quickly and very deftly, far more quickly and far more deftly than people imagined, to get himself out of the situation. And he deserves credit for that. I predict, by the way, that Mike Pompeo's days of influence over Donald Trump are now drawing to an end. I don't think Donald Trump will ever forget the crisis that Mike Pompeo nearly led him into.
Yeah, unintended consequences, and Mike Pompeo might be feeling those unintended consequences.
Absolutely.
He may actually be the collateral damage in all of this.
I completely agree. I understand, by the way, that there have already been two important dismissals. Two important U.S. officials have it's not been very widely reported, but they've lost their jobs. And I can't help but think that everything about them suggests that they were two of the most extreme hardliners, and that they've been quietly sacked. And it looks as if Mike Pompeo's days as Donald Trump's foreign policy czar are over.
All right, Alexander Mercuris, Editor-in-Chief of The Duran, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell. Check us out on iTunes and on SoundCloud for an audio copy of this video. And go to BitChute and DuranVideo.com, where we post all our videos on those two platforms as well. And download the Telegram app. DRN20 gets you a 20% discount. And the Telegram app is where you can keep up to date on everything going on in the Duran community. And Alexander, we have also ebooks, two new ebooks, but we have four ebooks in total. And when you purchase any ebook on the Duran shop, we will donate 100% of those proceeds to the NSW Rural Fire Services in Australia, who are fighting those terrible fires.
Indeed, sir. And to anybody who doesn't know, we've discussed this together, that's to say all of us on the Duran, and we all agreed that doing a program about the fires, which we'd thought of doing, is simply not practical for us. We don't have the knowledge of the science behind these fires. And we're a geopolitical, we're a politics and economics, a laws channel. We're not really, this isn't really something that we cover. At the same time, we recognize that this is a huge story, that this is an enormous human and environmental tragedy. We can't just ignore it. We are very concerned about the people who are fighting these fires, many of whom we know are volunteers. And we are trying to do what we can to signal our concern for them, to cover the story, if you like, in our particular way, by donating everything that we make from our ebooks to these people who are on the front line fighting these fires. Incredibly dangerous job, incredibly difficult job, and they need all the support they can get. So that's what we've decided to do. As for those ebooks, well, we would urge our viewers to buy them. I mean, you can donate directly to this fund if you wish, or you can send your money to other charities. But we would urge you to look at our ebooks, because we believe that they are very informative in themselves. We've done two recent ones. One is on Ukrainegate, which is this huge scandal that attracted all this enormous publicity that, you read about every day in the New York Times and the Washington Post, and you hear about on MSNBC, on CNN, all the various battles and infighting that's been going on about that. And we've covered it extensively on the Duran because we've had to. But ultimately, it is a story about nothing, because no crime was committed, not even the Democrats allege it. No wrongdoing, in our opinion, was committed either. Donald Trump didn't do anything that is in any way discernibly wrong. And there are no witnesses who allege that they saw him doing anything wrong. So what is this all about? Now, compare that with the other scandal, which is the Epstein scandal, where on the contrary, you have huge numbers of crimes committed by a very sinister and very dangerous man with all kinds of accomplices, lots of victims, people who suffered terribly as a result of what happened. And the media is avoiding that story. There's hardly anything being said about it. Contrast the huge attention that Ukraine Gate gets with the minimal attention that Epstein gets. And why is that so? Well, it's because the elites in the United States want to run with Ukraine Gate because it suits their political agenda. They want to avoid talking about Epstein because so many of them are in some way implicated in what happened. So that's what our two ebooks are about. And I repeat again, all the funds that we make, all the money that we make from the sales of all our ebooks, they go to the firefighters in Australia. And it's not just, of course, ebooks you can get in our shop. You can get amazing magic mugs like the one I'm drinking, actually Yorkshire tea from at the moment. This is a good northern solid British tea, good for a warm in a cold day like the one we're having now. So you can get magic mugs like these, beautiful, strong, elegant. You can see that it's in perfect condition despite the fact that it's used all the time. This one has the coat of arms of the Russian Federation, as you'll find on Vladimir Putin's mugs, but you'll find lots of other Duran magic mugs also. There were times this week, you know, when the Iranian crisis was underway, that, you know, I had only about an hour's sleep because I was trying to keep up with the news through the night, and I wouldn't have been able to without endless cups of tea from my magic mugs. So that's what they do for you. They give you the strength and the vigor to keep following these programs. But you can get other things. You can get T-shirts like the one I'm wearing now, or you can get long sleeve T-shirts. You can get amazing polo neck shirts, all 100% cotton, all incredibly stylish, all incredibly comfortable. You can get hoodies, hats, stickers. You can get amazing things from our shop. As Alex said, DRN20 is the discount code. If you want to get your discount, that's still running. That promotion is still running, but not for much longer. So help the Duran, help the firefighters in Australia, be the owner of these great things, learn from our ebooks. Alex will tell you.
Just go to the duranshop.com and you'll find all the information there. In the description box as well, you'll find all the links to the NSW Rural Fire Service. It's Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of the Duran. Thank you very much. Till next time, everybody, take care.